You're going to watch a year of disruption. Donald Trump is going to upend things that you and I have never imagined was going on in government. A lot of people aren't going to like this. The American church has still not repented. America is still on the brink of disaster, and we have to understand that in 2025...
Mario Merla, it's great to have you back here on Charisma to share what God is speaking to you about the year 2025. But before we get into that, we want to look back at what God shared with you for 2024, and we want to see how God really had this unfold. So Mario, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here. I feel we're going to have some real powerful results in this show today.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's jump right into this. I mean, last year you and I had this conversation. I'm going to play a short clip of this, and we're going to talk about what God did in reaction to this.
2024 is the era of the strong Christian. One thing to bear in mind, the left is going to behave like a wounded animal. You have to see that they've been cornered. Their escapades, their extremes, their overreaches in government are all coming back to haunt them now. And the American voter sees blood in the water, and they're going to make them pay. So in the interim, knowing this is, knowing that, for example, that Joe Biden now has the lowest approval rating of any president in history, that... They know they have to do something. So the individual who controls the teleprompter, whoever they are, is going to do anything and everything to make it miserable for people of faith and people that oppose the current regime. They have to use ad hominem attacks on our character. They have to question our sanity, or they have to vilify Trump. But one thing they don't have is a plan, a solution, or an apology for what they have done to this country. And so supernaturally, they've been placed in power by the evil one. And the only way to respond to that is supernatural. Now, you know, let me give you a vivid example of this. There are two words that every Christian needs to have in their vocabulary, the word policy and the word prophecy. Now, let's just take a moment. Policy is every human law that has been being written right now. And it's laws that the Bible even tells us it's possible for evil to enact laws. It says it in Psalm 94. Will you have fellowship with those who devise evil by law? So anyone that blindly says Christians are supposed to obey every law, they have to look at the word of God. We're supposed to obey every moral law, every civil law, but not an evil law. So here's the moment that we're in. God is going to raise up a special breed of people. The policy will be swallowed up by the prophecy. The Bible says the anointing will break the yoke. I define the yoke as whatever mass form of evil is present in your generation. Jesus, when he described the anointing, he said, the anointing is on me because that he said, here's the evil, here's the sickness, here's the devastation that the anointing of God is on me to address.
Mario, that's just a clip of the greater conversation that we had. But we talked about the wounded animal. We were talking about the whoever's controlling the teleprompter. They're going to make it difficult for Christians. I mean, we saw all these things lay out in this last year. How do you feel about looking back at this word that you gave last year?
Well, at the end of every year, and you caught me at the right moment when we did this interview, I go into a special time of seeking God for understanding. Mm-hmm. And unlike a lot of people that ask God, what are you going to do in the future for kind of strange reasons and reasons we won't get into, I am looking for guidance to know how to prepare our 10 crusades. Mm-hmm. What is the national condition going to be when our team goes out across the nation to win souls? And so you caught me at the time God was speaking to me. But and again, the reason I ask for it is because of my own obedience to what I need to do in the new year. And that's once again, you've caught me at that same moment where even today I was alone with God on the issue of 2025. And again, it's not for entertainment. It's not to be a prophet. It's to know how best to prepare ourselves for what's coming. And I think those words, you look at them now and wow, you know, I mean, God was trying to prepare us for what actually did happen,
right,
where prophecy did swallow policy in the election of Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful just watching that back. I mean, we had that conversation about a year ago, and watching that, I'm getting just chills thinking about this was said in December of 2023, and right, this is how we've seen it play out. You know, there's another thing that I had the opportunity to talk with you in Ocala, Florida, and it was at a Fire and Glory event. And I've just pulled out a little clip from here as well, because you spoke about a revival coming from a very specific group. And I want to hear your comments about this.
Okay. So the minorities are waking up, especially in the Latin community. There's a major spiritual awakening going on. And in fact, I'm going to predict right here that the wave of revival in the Latin churches in America is going to end up being the most forceful spiritual awakening that we have.
Wow. So we saw a lot of things happen with politically about the Latino community coming out in droves for Donald Trump. And that really shifted so much. I mean, I live here in Florida, and we actually saw one of the bluest districts go red this time in Miami. And right, so it was just remarkable to see that. But, you know, we're not just talking about politics. Revival is bigger than who's in the White House. Revival is what's happening in the church, what's happening in the streets. What are you seeing with that? And how do you feel about this word now?
Okay. It is absolutely true that what I was saying there has happened. And the first wave of it, John, was the way they voted.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just the tip of the iceberg, because it's a return to family values. In the Latin community, family is very strong. It's a strong force. And when you look at the values in Latin culture, it is amazing how much more they align with conservatism than they do with progressives.
Mm-hmm.
They value children. They value values. And now there's a powerful trend in the churches in California that are Spanish speaking are exploding. Mm. And in fact, we're working with them because we're trying to figure out the best way to conduct crusades on a bilingual level, because it is becoming overwhelming. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 2025, even though I'm getting ahead of myself. The outpouring of the Spirit is going to be an inner city phenomenon. It's going to be an inner city phenomenon. And you think about it, the last bastion of the Democratic Party was the inner city. But now, who has suffered more under the Democratic Party than anyone else?
The inner city.
And one of the cities where you can expect a touch of God in the next few months is Chicago. And I don't have anything planned there. I'm not planning on being there. But I'm telling you, you're going to hear about it. Something is going to break out in Chicago. Then New York City. And finally, one that I am praying for is San Francisco, because there is no city in America right now that has been destroyed by Democrats more than San Francisco. It is nothing compared to what I grew up in.
Hmm.
But that is where the Spirit of God's going to fall. Anyway, I got to be careful. We got to use our time wisely here. So
I'm encouraged by that. I am definitely encouraged by that, because I love hearing the tremors of revival. I mean, it's the earth shaking before the earthquake that you're reporting right now. I mean, I'm just feeling the Richter scale starting to go off as you're talking about this. And I'm going to stand with you that these cities are going to see revival.
Yeah,
Mario,
they are.
Yeah. What is God saying to you about the year 2025? And then let's follow up with, what do we do about it?
All right. Number one, and that's important because God doesn't give people words without instructions of what to do about it. And so that's an essential part of it. In 2025, you're going to watch a year of disruption. And disruption because corruption and the tentacles of corruption in both Republican Party and the Democratic Party. This is going to seem strange in 2025, that people are not going to feel loyal to either one of these parties because they're going to get this mentality. And Trump is raising this standard. You're either pro-American or you're anti-American. And pro-American is Christian. That the people have done the math. They've come up with that. Patriotism, Christianity are closely aligned. The argument that will be destroyed in 2025 is the church's opposition to Christian nationalism. That's going to finish. It's over. It's not going to happen. Those that have attacked Christian nationalism are going to come off very silly, very fringe, very marginalized, and an open patriotism with the Christian roots, very much like the original colonists, that spirit is going to pervade the land. And what's going to happen is senators, congressmen, pastors, and leaders who are leading double lives, are in it for the money, are walking in a margin of crime right now, criminals that are in positions of power, and it's going to shock us. Now, we're seeing a measure of it with P. Diddy. We're seeing pastors and leaders, and people will say, well, Mara, that's an easy prediction. I'm going to spread it out for you. Donald Trump is going to upend things that you and I have never imagined was going on in government. We're going to see it plainly and clearly, and it's going to be disrupted.
Wow. Disruption is can be a very good thing. And in this case, I believe it will be. But disruption is, people don't want to be disrupted. People want to be left alone, whether it's good or bad. They just want to be left alone in their own situation. But I know it's, with some of the stuff that you've talked about with me, you have a warning for us as well about this political response here.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't going to like this part, but here it goes. The American church has still not repented. We cannot be deceived into thinking all of the good things that have happened in the last several weeks are because the church has repented. No, she hasn't. And it's true, and a lot of people aren't going to like this. We're paying obscene amounts of money still to gospel singers. It's way out of whack. Has no spirituality to it whatsoever. A lot of the therapeutic churches, which I reference as churches that preach a TED talk, nuance with a little bit of New Age, and it's more about popularity than it is truth, you're going to see that they have not repented. They've gone on as if nothing has happened. And they don't realize that on their watch, America's undergone the steepest moral avalanche ever. And they're still in that. They're still unaffected by it. And it referenced in the Bible that we haven't known the good thing God did for us. I want to mention one. When God moved Donald Trump's head a quarter of an inch so that a bullet missed his head and grazed his ear, we have no idea the mercy that was involved in that. Because there is no way to assess what life would look like right now if Donald Trump had been killed. It would have been, in my estimation, civil war. That would have been the final straw for millions of Americans. They would have understood that their government was complicit in the killing of what they felt was a great hope for America to be restored. He's dead. We're in trouble. And the fact that he isn't dead is an act of mercy that is absolutely incalculable. You cannot come up with an adequate description of what that meant that that was prevented. But the church didn't even mention it in the pulpits. And I will challenge the audience to tell me how many churches they remember on the day after the assassination that somebody got up in the pulpit and said, God just spared it. But here's the other side of it, John, and I think this might be even more important. God said, Trump is my man. He saved him because he's saying, Trump is my man. Mm-hmm. He's the one that I've sent to keep America from being destroyed politically, economically. Now, Trump cannot save America. That's the church's job. But the church, if it doesn't even understand, it's picture an Olympic race where all of the people before you in a relay have done their job and they hand you the baton and you don't even run. And that's where the church is at. Trump is handing the church a baton. I've spoken up. Now you speak up. Now you get in your pulpit and say, we're not going to have transgender surgery for our children. We're not going to have immorality. We want to get rid of these books on sexuality for 3 to 5 year olds. It's up to every pastor to say, I'm going to be a force in my community. That's the only way. They got to be handed the baton. They're not doing it. And so I feel that America is still on the brink of disaster because of the church's refusal to appreciate what they've done. And I want to read a verse that says it. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Wrath is still looming over America because now the church knows better, John. The church knows better. Mm-hmm. Millions and millions and millions of Americans have said, we don't want a watered-down gospel. We don't want you to sell us on a powerless, deluded version of God's word. We want God to move in our life, and the church is behaving as business as usual. But later on in the interview, I'm going to show you why there's great hope. But I think that is the problem right there. We have not repaid according to the mercy that was shown us by the blocking of the assassination and the re-election with such a mandate of God's man for the White House.
Wow. Mario, I know, I think we should just jump right into what it is that God has said for you, because time is short and we gotta get to what he's called us to do.
Right. What God has called us to do is this. There is a verse that talks about what I just said, and I want to read Ezra 9, verse 13. And Ezra is saying this in a very similar situation. Israel has been spared going into extinction. King Cyrus has sent people back to rebuild Jerusalem. And Ezra said this when he got there and he saw what they had done. He said, after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance as this. This is the word of the hour. God, we didn't deserve this deliverance. We didn't earn it. We didn't fast or pray or repent for it. This is the hand of God having mercy on us. And we should be broken before God. Well, here is the excitement. There are people watching right now, John, that leave these modern Christian events, and they know there's something better. There's something more real. There's something more substantive. I said this on our last Firepower episode. Everyone knows two things, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but you know me, I'm so sweet. All right, here we go. There are two things. There is in your city a church that is built on marketing, entertainment, and attraction. There is in your town a church that doesn't even have their own building. They're renting an auditorium or a school or a movie theater. And in that pulpit is a young man or a minister or a man or a woman of God teaching the word, basing the church not on extremes, but on the word of God. You have a choice. What are you doing in this church? Why are you giving them your money when they are as dangerous to America as Kamala Harris is? Because they are preaching and giving us a counterfeit Christianity that allows us to let our nation just go into a moral abyss, ignore Trump's opportunity, versus getting in a church where God is moving and his spirit is powerful. That's it. So who are these people? A lot of you are watching. So in Ezra 9 in verse 4, which is earlier in that same chapter, after Ezra made his first appeal and he's openly sobbing, a brokenhearted man of God saying, this nation, God allowed you to come back from Babylon, and this is how you're going to act when you've been delivered from bondage? And he says, the people reacted this way, verse 4 of chapter 9. Then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. We don't need all of the modern Christians to repent. We need the remnant, the core, whoever trembles at God's word, whoever believes the Bible is still the word of God and that God's power can turn this around, that will link with the Trump miracle and that seed will be watered and we will see a national awakening. So we have to understand, you are more than enough. So what do? It's very simple, John. You begin with prayer. Everything God ever did began with prayer. Matthew Henry said, whenever God is about to bring revival, he sets his people to prayer. You can begin to pray, but it's not just prayer. It's specific words that had come from your heart. God, I want my nation to know you, and I expect you through this prayer to instruct me on what I'm to do. What is my part in this great drama that you have created by putting a man in the White House and getting this wild bunch of experts, a team for the FBI, for the economy, for the health and welfare of the United States? People we've never seen in government before are suddenly on Trump's team, setting the stage for the perfect reaction of the body of Christ to run to the harvest and wake up the millions. So what if the lukewarm don't join us? We can't wait for them. So what if we look like we're judgmental? We haven't got enough time to appeal to people who are never going to understand repentance or revival or truth. We've got to run to the harvest. We've got to go from a fiery season of prayer into a direction and obedience. And that's 2025, and that's what it's going to be about.
That is a very powerful challenge there, because we all want to be in that remnant. We all want to be the people that God looks to and says, they're repenting. They're the ones that I can trust, you know, because God looked around and he found Abraham and saw that here's somebody that I can consider a friend. You know, there's other people that God has put his finger on and said, look, here's somebody that I can do something with them. We all want to be that person. But we need to, as you said, tremble at his word. We need to take it seriously. We can't just play church anymore. And I felt this way in 2016, whenever we had the election, the first election of Donald Trump. I felt that this is actually going to be a very good thing, because no matter if Trump would win or Hillary would win, the church would, you know, if Hillary would have won, the church would have prayed, because we needed to protect ourselves because we knew that there would be an attack coming against the religious freedoms in this country. But if Donald Trump would win, he's a bit of a wild card that the church should have prayed. Well, I was wrong in that thinking because the church didn't do what I thought they were going to do.
Right.
And so then we went through, you know, Trump's 4 years, and then we obviously saw the fruit, or really the lack of fruit of prayer or not prayer. And we saw what happened in 2020. But now we have a reprieve. We have a second time around that we can do this the right way, the way that God's calling us to get on our faces, repent, pray to the Lord, and do what he's calling us to do to reach the harvest.
And we have to understand that in 2025, the left is going to operate not out of policy or politics, but out of pure hatred, hatred. And we'll see it. We'll see unvarnished hatred. And I'm preparing myself for it because I know that millions of Americans want to get saved. I know that any pastor that will give altar call, I'll tell you for a fact, if any pastor is watching, were to get in his pulpit and announce next Sunday, I'm going to preach a soul-winning sermon and literally give the topic they're going to speak on and tell their church to invite their friends, they'll see more church growth in the next few months than they've seen in the last 10 years. Because that's how desperate the American public is right now. And if we quit looking at false limitations and vain imaginations and understand the hour we're in, we'll see a miracle.
Yeah. And we can't just be going from one prophetic word to another prophetic word to another thing to another thing. We have to be grounded. And yes, prophetic words are important. God does speak through that, but you can't be going from, you can't turn the prophetic into a horoscope or a soothsayer or a psychic. That is not the intention of that. But I know a lot of, you have a lot of passion about the, about true prophecy. Mario, can you just kind of give people an idea of how they can actually look for that discernment spirit?
You know, even before discernment, common sense would help the body.
Amen.
Because someone asked me about dinosaurs in heaven and Elvis singing and Jello mountains and all that. And they said, how do you know that's not true? And they wanted me to give a scripture. What I said, because it's stupid. I mean, and if you don't know stupidity, you need help. It's yours is not a theological problem. It's a common sense problem. But the fact is, if you get the impression that God is a big blabbermouth, all of a sudden, 5 years ago, when the prophetic movement got popular, God just couldn't shut up. He had something to say every morning to people. You know, stay with my YouTube channel, stay with my Facebook page, because I've got another word and another word and another word. And you know, you don't realize that Elisha the prophet at one point went 40 years without prophesying. And the true prophet knows that silence is as golden as speaking, because it has nothing to do with whether you speak or you don't. It has to do with what God wants. And Micaiah said in 1 Kings 22, whatsoever the Lord says unto me, that I will speak, and that only will I speak. And that's really the need of this hour. We need to understand that it's time to make things happen. So we got this people like holding a bag of popcorn, staring at the, you know, the Marvel universe, listening to the prophet say, this is what's going to happen next year. This is how this is going to be. Half of them are things that would never affect us in the first place. You wonder, why is God predicting that there's going to be something in the Middle East happen? They're going to discover a species of camel that we've never seen before. And I'm going, give me a massive break. Instead of being a spectator waiting on a word, become an active warrior. So instead of getting excited about things that somebody predicts, make things happen. Don't obsess on people saying what's going to happen. Make something happen in 2025.
Hey, man, that's a good word. Make something happen in 2025. Be the prophecy fulfillment, not just listen to somebody else say that. Mario, would you pray for people that feel riled up, that feel encouraged right now to become the active warrior that God has called them to be?
Father, help those who are watching to understand that urging that's going on in their soul right now is because they're called to something deeper and bigger than they ever imagined. That they have to shake off the distractions and the weight of moderate and compromised Christianity and embrace the power of this moment, the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit for the new thing you're doing in the earth. We want it, and help those who are watching to find it and to be so filled with the fire of God that their fear, their hesitancy, or their belief that God wants to use someone beside them instead of them is false. Give them the mighty insight to what they're to do in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mario Murillo, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us what God is saying to you about 2025 and what we need to do about that. And also, thank you for sharing stuff in the past that we can look back and say, God is good. He is true to his word. Mario, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. It's my honor, my friend. God bless you.